Arguments are the tools of critical thinking. The first thing you need to understand is the difference between an inference and an argument. These two concepts are highly related, but just a little bit different. An inference is basically a psychological activity. You infer a conclusion from a particular set of premises. The argument itself is the premises and the conclusion together. So the argument is a set of statements that describes the process of making that inference. Key concepts to keep in mind are the conclusion. The conclusion is obviously what the argument is intended to prove. The premises. The premises are the reasons that the person giving the argument offers in support of that conclusion. And a statement. A statement is a sentence with a truth value, as opposed to questions and commands. There are only two truth values that we'll be concerned with, true and false. Here are some examples of arguments. There are some differences between these three arguments. The first is a deductive argument. The other two are inductive arguments. Inductive arguments are only intended to establish the probability of the conclusion. The first two arguments are good arguments, although philosophically there has been a lot of criticism of that second argument. That third argument is obviously really bad. By the end of the course, you'll be able to state just exactly what's wrong with that argument. The book covers these uses of arguments pretty well, so I won't go into it. Key steps in identifying an argument, first of all, is to figure out whether it is an argument. Not everything that looks like an argument is actually an argument, so we'll look at that closer in a little bit. Once you decide that it is an argument, the thing to ask is, what's the conclusion? If you can figure out what the conclusion of the argument is, then it's pretty easy to establish what the premises are supposed to be. Okay, finding the conclusion. Look at this argument here. All critical thinking students are good students, first premise. Second premise, Rebecca is a critical thinking student. Conclusion is Rebecca is a good student. Now this is a good argument. The blank there is to get us to think a little bit about what sorts of words would naturally go into that blank. And once we figure that out, then we can be able to look for those words to give us clues as to what conclusions, or what statements the conclusions are supposed to be. So let me back up just a little bit. So what would go in the blank? Probably a word like therefore. All critical thinking students are good students. Rebecca is a critical thinking student. Therefore, Rebecca is a good student. And that therefore is something that we'll call a conclusion indicator. Now, if we start with the conclusion, Rebecca is a good student, then there's a blank. Well, what naturally goes in that blank? Maybe because all critical thinking students are good students, and Rebecca is a critical thinking student. So indicator words. Conclusion indicators include things like therefore, thus, and so, words like hence that you hardly hear anyone say anymore. Premise indicators would be since, because, for the reason that is implied by. Now, these indicator words are not foolproof. For one reason, arguments can have no indicator words at all. So an argument may be like this. All critical thinking students are good students. Rebecca's a critical thinking student. Rebecca's a good student. Then it's up to you to figure out what the conclusion and what the premises are. So the thing to ask is always, what is this person trying to prove? And what reasons does she offer for this conclusion? Things will be easier if, once we analyze the argument, if we'll put it in a nice form that clearly says these are the premises and this is the conclusion. And this form is called standard form. You list the premise on each on a numbered line, each premise separately on a numbered line. First premise marked 1, second premise marked 2, and so on. Draw a line after the last premise, then write the conclusion under the line. Some of these I think I've messed up with the line, so I'll point them out when we go on. Here's an example. with our previous argument. All critical thinking students are good, number one. Number two, Rebecca's a critical thinking student. Then a line followed by the conclusion, Rebecca's a good student. It's important to be able to distinguish an argument from something that looks like an argument but is not an argument. An argument is always intended to prove something. Sometimes a set of statements is just going to be a set of mere assertions. So it's not intended that some of these serve as proof for any of the others. If that's the case, then it's just simply a set of statements. Now the tricky thing can be between arguments and explanations, because explanations often use those indicator words like because and therefore. Here are some examples. George Washington was elected president because of his leadership in the Revolution. Second example, George Washington showed great leadership in the Revolutionary War and so was elected president. Well, the because there is a premise indicator, so is a conclusion indicator, but this is really not an argument. It's just an explanation. So what's the difference? The difference is that everyone agrees already that George Washington was elected president. Explanations presuppose this agreement about the matter of fact. The person is not trying to prove that George Washington was elected president. They're trying to explain why George Washington was elected president. So it's a subtle difference. So the key to distinguishing arguments from explanations is to find the statement that looks like the conclusion, then ask yourself if everyone would already grant this to be true. Good arguments versus bad arguments. Basically, a good argument presents good reasons for believing the conclusion. Bad arguments do not. Now, in the case of deductive arguments are arguments that are intended to be valid. Valid means if the premises are true, then the conclusion must be true. Another way to define valid is this: it's impossible for the premises to be true and the conclusion false. Two key concepts concerning validity are, first, validity is a formal notion. That means that validity is purely a function of the argument form. It doesn't really matter what the content of the premises and conclusion are. If an argument has the right form, it's a valid argument. So all you need to do, really, to figure out whether it's an invalid argument is just to look at the argument form once you learn which argument forms are valid and which are invalid. Second concept is this concept of truth preservation. Deductive arguments are truth preserving. If you input true, you output true. If you input false, anything goes, right? But if you input true, you have to output true if the argument's valid. If the premises are true, the conclusion must be true. Now, validity requires neither the premises nor the conclusion to be true. To say that an argument's valid is not to say that the conclusion is true. You can have a valid argument with a false conclusion. To say that the argument's valid is not to say that the premises are true. You can have a valid argument with false premises. It's to say that the argument's valid is to say something special about the relationship between the premises and the conclusion. This relationship is such that if the premises are true, then the conclusion must be true. I think that publisher's clearinghouse example is in the text. You can look at that there. Valid arguments can have true premises, true conclusions, false premises, true conclusions, false premises, false conclusions, but they cannot have true premises and a false conclusion. Now, invalidity. Validity doesn't come in degrees. It's either valid or invalid. So any argument that is not valid is automatically invalid. So what would be the definition of invalidity? That is, an argument where it is possible for the premises to be true and the conclusion false. An argument sound if it's deductively valid, first. Second, has all true premises. So since it's valid, invalid means if the premises are true, the conclusion must be true. And the premises are in fact true, we know that the conclusion of a sound argument is true. To prove that an argument's invalid, first of all, you can't just prove that it has false premises or it has a false conclusion. You have to prove that that relationship doesn't hold between the premises and the conclusion. The way to do that is to present a counterexample. Now, there are two ways of counterexamples. This is the way that the book talks about. We'll call that method one. In this method, you tell a consistent story in which the premises are true and the conclusion false. Here's the case where I have the line in the wrong place. That line should be below the second premise. Okay, first premise, if it's raining, the sidewalks are wet. Second premise, sidewalks are wet. Conclusion, it's raining. What would be a consistent story in which the premises are true and the conclusion false? Well, one is just come up with a story in which the it's not raining and for some reason the sidewalks are wet. So on this day, somebody has adjusted the sprinklers so that they spray on the sidewalks. Now, to say that that story is consistent is to say that it could possibly be true. It doesn't have to be true, may not have ever been true, but it could have been true. Okay, the second method of a counterexample relies on this notion of formality. Remember that validity is a function of form. So here we construct an argument of the same form that's obviously invalid. And if an argument, if one instance of a argument form is invalid, then every instance of that argument form is invalid. Now you have to come up with one that's obviously invalid. And the way to do that is to come up with a example of that form where the premises are obviously true and the conclusion is obviously false. Because if an argument form can have an instance where you have true premises and a false conclusion, we know it must be invalid. If the argument were valid, that would be impossible. Okay, back to our example. If it's raining, sidewalks are wet, it's raining. First thing to do is to analyze the form of that argument. So just take some letter symbols, these uppercase letters, substitute the letters there for the sentences in the premises and the conclusion. So if blank, then blank, blank, therefore blank. If P, then Q, Q, therefore P. That's the argument form that we have here. And in the next lesson, we'll see that that's an invalid argument form. Well, here's some substitutions. If Lincoln was beheaded, Lincoln is dead. That's obviously true. Beheading, at least generally, if not always, results in death. Two, Lincoln is in fact dead. That, again, everyone would agree to. And the conclusion that follows, sticking to that same argument form, would be Lincoln was beheaded. Well, the two premises are true, but the conclusion is obviously false. Lincoln was shot. So, since we have true premises, false conclusion, we must have an invalid argument form. Okay, the difference between deduction and induction is really just a matter of probability. In a deductive argument, the intention is to absolutely prove that this conclusion is true. In an inductive argument, the intention is to establish the probable truth of the conclusion. Now, an argument is inductively strong just in case, first, it is not deductively valid. All inductive arguments are invalid. They don't even try to prove that the conclusion must be true, just try to prove that it's probably true. But not every invalid argument is a bad argument. An invalid argument can be a good argument, provided that it's inductively strong. So, first, it's not valid. Second, if the premises are true, then the conclusion is probably true. Inductive strength, unlike validity, comes in degrees. And it's also not necessarily truth-preserving. No matter how good this inductive argument is, it's always possible to input true, have true premises, and output false, have a false conclusion. Last thing is the matter of evaluating arguments. When you evaluate an argument, have to ask several questions. First of all, are these premises likely to be true? Are they plausible? If they're not plausible, then that argument's not going to be successful. Second, has relevant information been omitted? This is especially important with inductive arguments. So there may be some key premises that you need to know in order to know if that conclusion follows, but the speaker has left those out. Third, how strongly do the premises support the conclusion? The strongest possible manner of support is deductive validity. But if you don't have deductive validity, maybe you can still have inductive strength. But maybe some arguments are just bad. That's the end of this lecture.